flew from Charlotte down to Dallas. It's about a 3-hour flight. And as I was on that flight, I just started to ask the Lord, okay, Lord, I love the Open Door family. I love Pastor Ronnie and Kim. And every person I meet here is just an absolute delight. Would you, Lord, would you give me a word that is for these people, for this church family? And so the Lord took me to a specific scripture. And we're going to read that in a few moments. You can turn there if you want. Just turn to Genesis 26. And just kind of get your finger in there and hold it in there. Have you ever considered how easy it is for us to enjoy clean, fresh water? It's quite amazing, you know. Like, I travel to India and we cannot drink. When we go to India, we can't drink the water that comes out of the faucets there. If you drink that, you get what's called Delhi belly. And Delhi belly is when you get very, very sick and you can't minister because you're spending 2 weeks in the restroom. See, many of the sicknesses in India are waterborne sicknesses because the water's not good. We have to have bottled water and sterilize it and heat it, boil it, and this sort of thing. It's the same when we go to East Africa and other nations in Africa. We have to boil the water or buy special water. And yet here in the United States of America, we go to our homes, we turn on the faucet, put a little cup under it, maybe a few little cubes of ice in there. We think nothing of it. We have fresh, clean, pure water just like that. Is that how it is in your house? It's here. We've got water fountains here. Or if you don't like to do that, you can go and get a nice bottle of water and drink that. Water is so available. You walk into the kitchen, turn on the faucet, boom, you've got fresh water. You can even choose how cold or how hot the water you have. Say, you know, I want a nice hot shower, put it onto steaming hot, 110 degrees, beautiful. Or you might like a nice ice cold drink. We've got water coolers at work, water coolers in our churches. If you get thirsty when you're driving, there's a multitude of gas stations where you can stop and pick up like a little bottle of iced water. Actually, if anyone's got a bottle of water right now that they're not using, I could do with it as well if you've got one. Water is everywhere for us. And it's totally drinkable. This isn't staged. Thank you, sir. What's this guy's name?
Neil.
Neil. You're prophetic, brother. But do you know that to enjoy running water in each house has only been a standard for about the last 100 years? So if anyone here is over 100 years old, you probably remember not having running water in your house. Although I'm looking around, there's no one that old here, I don't think. But over 100 years ago, there was no running water in homes. And now we just take it for granted, don't we? Well, in Bible times, they didn't have running water either. Back in the times of the Old Testament, just a few thousand years ago, most people had one of two choices if they wanted fresh water. Choice number one was to live by a stream, or live by a river. And choice number two was, if they couldn't do that, you had to dig a well. You had to get out and dig yourself a well until you reached water. Wells were such an important part of life in Bible times. A well provided water for the family and for the livestock. A well was a clear sign that a family liked the location. Okay, we're staying here, Mama Bear. We're staying here, Daddy. Let's dig a well. This is where our home's going to be. The water from the well was essential for life, for drinking, for washing, for cooking, for every part of life. And digging and maintaining the well was an essential part of everyday life for a family. Now, we don't have that in America, do we? We don't have to go out and, okay, little Seth, would you go out and just clean the well for us? It's getting a bit dirty in there. Just clean it up. Go rinse the bucket out. Make sure it's, we don't have to do that. We say, oh, just turn the faucet on, get some water, off we go. But that's not how it was in Bible times. Now, with that in mind, we're going to read from Genesis chapter 26. So is everybody there? If you haven't got a Bible, I believe they may put the words up behind me. In Genesis chapter 26, we're going to read from verse 12 through to verse 15. It says there, now Isaac, is everybody there? Say, yes, I'm there. Amen. You're getting good at this. There's always one. There's always one rebellious one that has to go back southern. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Genesis 26, verse 12. Now Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And he became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, and the Philistines envied him. You know who the Philistines are, right? They were one of the biggest enemies of the Israelite people. Verse 15. Now the wells which Isaac's father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines stopped up by filling them with earth. Now listen. The Philistines knew how important Abraham's wells were. They provided life for Abraham and his family. And they represented the very provision of God. And do you know, in your life, you have wells? There are things in your life that represent the goodness of God, that represent the provision of God in your life. And so what happened? The Philistines came along and they saw these wells, and when no one was looking, they filled them all up with dirt and filth and debris. That's what happened in this story right here. And over the next few verses, what happens is Isaac starts to redig Abraham's wells. He sees all these wells that Abraham had dug, and they've been stopped up by the Philistines. And so he gets his men and his servants, and they start redigging these wells out. But every time they redig one of Abraham's wells, each time somebody comes along and takes it from Isaac. So he finds a well, he digs it out. He says, oh great, we've got this well. And then someone comes in and says, hey, you can't stay there. We're taking this well. You clear off. And so Isaac moves to the next well, and he starts digging again with his guys, and he gets fresh water. He says, okay, we'll camp here. And then someone else comes in and says, oh no, we want that well. You clear off. And this keeps happening and happening and happening in this story. But Isaac doesn't give up. And as I pondered this, as I was flying here today, I just thought about some of the folk who are here this evening. And it seems every time you try something, you feel the Lord lead you, and you try something, and just when it gets good, you lose it. Someone comes along and steals your joy. Someone comes along and steals your well of peace. Someone comes along and takes away your well of financial blessing, whatever it might be. And you think, man, I'm just giving up. I don't know if I can keep doing this. Well, look what Isaac does. Isaac doesn't give up. And in verse 24, the Lord appears to Isaac in a place called Beersheba. Now the word Beer, B-E-E-R, means well. And the word Sheba means seven. So Beersheba literally means the seventh well. So Isaac keeps digging these wells. He gets pushed off, just like some of you. You make progress and then you lose it. You make progress and you lose it. But don't give up. Be like Isaac. Carry on. And at the seventh well, God is going to meet you if you don't give up. And God meets him, and he says this in verse 24. I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. And then let's skip down to verse 32. A few verses later, in verse 32, they hit water again. It says there, now it came about on the same day that Isaac's servants came in and told him about the well which they had dug. And they had said to him, listen to these four words. They said to Isaac, we have found water. Can everyone say that with me, please, after three? One, two, three.
We have found water.
No, it's not water. I don't see a word up there spelled W-A-D-A. There ain't no water in the Bible. It's water. Say it with passion after three. One, two, three. We have found water. Listen, what I'm here to tell you tonight is that every church family is called to dig wells. It's not just you on your own being called to dig wells. This church family, Open Door Church, you are called to be a well digging church. And every church in Belmead and Waco and Woodway and this whole region, Hewitt, this region here, every church is called to dig wells. And I sense that God is desiring to focus the church away from the overcomplication of church life. You know, we've made church so complicated, so difficult. There's so many hoops to jump through, so many ropes to skip over, so much red tape to get through. And I really believe God is refocusing our attention on the desire of His heart to be who He has called you to be in its simplest form. And this evening, there is one well that every church is called to dig. Now, there are some wells that this church will dig that another church won't dig. But there is one well that every church is called to dig, and that is the wellspring of family. This church right here, you are called to dig the well, redig the well of family. You see, the devil hates family. He hates Christian family. He hates husbands and wives being together. He hates children growing up in a good family. And so what's he done? He's taken that well of family and he's filled it with dirt and filth and muck. And if you stand up for biblical Christian marriage and biblical Christian family, you're called a mean person. You'll be called all sorts of names. Why is that? It's not because people are stupid. It's because the devil's done such a great job of filling up that well. But every church is called to dig up the wellspring of family. And when we're digging that well, God's directed us to dig. As we do that, the devil's going to try and fill it up behind us. As you promote family here, I love the way that every time I come here, I feel like family. And part of it is because your pastor here and everyone else, you're walking around. Hey, let's take a few minutes to greet each other. You're shaking each other's hands. How you doing? Good to see you. You're hugging strangers. Hey, man, good to see you. God bless you. And then you get around in circles and start holding hands and praying together. Do you know the world thinks that's totally weird? Not because it is weird, but because the devil has stopped up the well of family. And so the world doesn't understand what family is all about. What happens here, it's family. You are called to dig and redig that well of family. Today, I'd like to share with us this evening four lessons that we can learn from Isaac redigging this wellspring. But remember, we're talking specifically about the family wellspring. You see, the family is the foundation of everything. That's why God's called a father. He could have been called CEO, chief executive officer. He could have been given a number of other titles in the Bible, but he wasn't. He's been called father. Why? Because he's all about family. And every church, whether it's a denominational church or a non-denominational church, whether it's a large church or a small church, whether it's a traditional church or a contemporary church, whether it's a brand new church that was launched last Sunday or a church that's been in business and been serving the Lord's people for 50 years, every church is called to dig the family wellspring. Because without the family, society has nothing. And we are the ones who are called to take family to the society again. Because society says, oh, we don't need family. Just do whatever we want, with whoever we want, whenever we want. Right. And we'll call that family. The Bible says, no, there is a clear definition of what family is. And it's about time some people started standing up and making a stand for family. I love that this church here makes a stand for the unborn children. Standing against abortion. See, that's one of the wellsprings that you are digging right here. It's the wellspring of the life of unborn children. But I'm here to talk today about the wellspring of family. So let me share with you a few things. Number one, Isaac desired to unblock a dirt-filled well that once supplied water to his family. That was his passion. He knew this well. It used to flow freely. And his father used to get water from this, and his mother used to get water from this well. Maybe as a young boy, he used to drink water from that well. This is the heart of the Lord, that we, and I'm going to call myself part of this church for tonight, that we as a family get fresh water, fresh family water from the well. We don't have to drink the stale water of the world that says, nah, you don't need family. You can make it on your own. Just you and the world, you'll be fine. We need each other. That's why we have to unstop this well. Look around this room for a moment. Just look around. Don't stop looking at me. Look around. Look at the people over here. They're an odd-looking bunch. Look at these guys in the middle here. Doesn't get much stranger than that, does it? You may not want to look over here. You might have some nightmares if you do. Listen. This right here is your family. This is the wellspring that's being dug here. And when we declare that we are family, what happens is we're echoing a cry of heaven. So I want us to say this together. We're going to say after three, we are family. Okay? There's no accents involved. We say it the same. So here we go. One, two, three.
We are family.
Okay. Now we're going to sing it. We're going to sing, we are family. I got my brothers and sisters and me. Everybody sing it. Okay. You want to do that? Here we go. After four. One, two, three, four. We are family. I've got all my sisters and me. Everybody sing it. We are family. Oh yeah. Get up everybody and dance. Give yourselves a round of applause. Look, I just want you to get the message tonight. This is your family. This is the well you've been called to dig. And the reason I'm here to tell you that is because the devil doesn't want you to do it. He wants you to focus on your lack of finances tomorrow or the struggles you've got over here so you don't even think about your family. But if you will focus on partnering with your pastors and digging the wellspring of family and loving your family and embracing your family and helping your family, my goodness me, this church will rock and roll for Jesus. It's incredible what can happen. You see, family is provision from the Lord. You are each other's provision from God. That's who you are as family. Family is a place where we can plan to stay for a while. Some of you need to stop looking around thinking, well, I guess maybe I'll be here for another few weeks or another few months and I'll try somewhere else. See, that's not the heart of the family. When we do that, you know what we're doing? We're kicking dirt into the family wellspring. We're saying, oh, let's kick some dirt in that. It's not really important. Family is a place where we hang around. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. My family, my biological family, they are absolutely bonkers. They are nuts. They are cuckoo, cuckoo. But you know something? I love them. And next week, they all live in England. Next week, my mum and dad are flying to South Carolina to stay with me. And my sister and her husband and their two kids are also flying to our house to stay with us. And my other sister and her husband and their four kids are also flying to our house to stay with us. Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. Talk about the funny farm. But we're family. And we don't run away from each other. We stick together. Family is essential for living the life that God has intended us to live. Let me tell you this, my friends. You cannot live as God's called you to live without living together. Without being together as open door family, you can't live as God's called you to live because you're not called to be isolated. I want to speak to you men for a moment. Ladies, you can listen in. Men, you were not created to isolate yourself away from other men. Do you know the biggest danger of any man of God is he says, I don't need men's ministry. I don't need to hang out with the other guys in the church. I'm just going to be by myself. You put yourself by yourself and you will be taken out by the enemy just like that. We were not created, men, to live isolated lives. We were created to live together in family, in community. Men of God standing together. And all around the world, throughout the US, and all around this region, the wellspring of family has been stopped up by the Philistines. And our job is to get shovels out and start unstopping that well. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Are you willing to work with Pastors Ronnie and Kim to start unblocking the well of family in this region? Yeah. You see, to many, the church has been reduced to a cluster of disposable relationships. And what this has led to is a generation of believers who are shallow. Because we say, you know, brother, I love you right now, but oh, you're disposable. When the next someone comes along, I'll leave you and I'll move on to the next one. That's what we've made church to be. Where really church is, we're family. And you might annoy me sometimes like crazy. You guys might bug the living daylights out of me. But you know what? That's what family does. Do you know who irritates me more than anyone else in my life when I was growing up? My sisters. They drove me nuts. Bunch of whiners. But you know something? They're family. And we stick together. And when we stick together, we unblock the family wellspring. And we fight against the enemy. The heart of God always has been for family. Do you know that? From the time of Adam and Eve, God's desire was for family. Throughout biblical history, God's heart was for family. Throughout church history, God's heart is for family. And while we've been distracted by denominations and theology and building empires of ministry and church, God's attention is all about family. I'm just going to be honest with you. I wish we didn't even use the word church. My church is called Abundant Hope Church. I wish it was called Abundant Hope Family. I wish this place was called Open Door Family. I wish other churches around this region. Sometimes I just feel, let's just do away with the word church. We know it. We understand it. But you see, what has happened is we've translated church almost like a business. And so we treat each other like business acquaintances. How are you? Bless you. Good to see you. Thank you very much. How are you? Bless you. Good to see you. That ain't no family. That's business. See, I know there's simplicity here. But I feel God is desiring for the church to come back to family. But we got to get digging. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes passion and commitment. Even now, as we debate the rights and wrongs of how to do church, as we express our own preferences about how church should be run and organized, do you know where God's passion is? Have a guess. Do you think God's concerned about how warm or cold it is in this building? No. Do you think God's concerned about how loud or how quiet the music is? Nope. Do you think the Lord's even concerned about whether I preach a good message and make you laugh or whether I preach a lousy message and send you to sleep? Actually, he's not. Do you know what he's concerned about? I'll give you a clue. We are family. That's what he's concerned about. Family. That is on his heart. As I read and reread Genesis, I feel the Lord speaking to me that the Philistines are still filling up the church wells, including that well of family. So let's be those that dig it. Okay, let's move on. Number two, as the wells were unstopped, here's what happened. Isaac and his family were attacked. You see, it sounds great, doesn't it? Yeah, let's be a family. Let's work together. Let's spend time together. Let's dig the wellspring of family and let's live that. The open door family. It's going to be awesome. Well, I want to tell you something. When you do that, you will get attacked by the enemy. Your pastors will get attacked. The church will get attacked. And each one of you, there will be an attack from the enemy that will come. You see, wells speak of the provision of God. And every time we look to draw from that well, the enemy wants to fill it up with anything other than fresh water. And when he sees a well being unstopped and the fresh water of family starting to flow, he will attack with everything he has at his disposal. And let me tell you, he's got some weaponry. I remember when I first moved to Texas. You have to remember, English people don't have guns unless you're in the military. When I grew up, even the police didn't have guns. They had big sticks. Now, when they hit you with it, it really, really hurt. So I grew up in a culture without guns. So I moved to Texas. This is back in 2001. And I moved to this place where everyone calls each other Bubba, which I didn't really understand. How come everyone's got the same name? And everyone was fixing to do something. You're fixing to go to the mall? No, I'm fixing to go out for dinner. Why is everything broken? Is that why you're fixing it? I didn't understand. And then added to that, everyone wore these cowboy hats, cowboy boots, and big old buckles, hold their trousers up. It's like, Lord, what is this place you've brought me to? But I fell in love with Texan people. Now, you see, in England, We're quite reserved, you know. Like, often parents don't even tell their kids, we don't say, I love you. My first week in Texas, I preach at a church here in Waco. And afterwards, this big dude, he must have been 350 pounds. Cowboy hat, cowboy boots, the big old buckle, denim shirt. You know this kind of guy I mean? He walked up to me like this. Come on, just be a volunteer for me. Imagine I'm 350 pounds. Imagine he's me. He walked up to me and he went like this. I love you, brother. And he wouldn't let go. Now remember, I've never had a man tell me he loved me in my whole life apart from my dad a few times. And suddenly this total stranger, 350 pound with a big Texan accent, starts telling me how much he loves me. Well, eventually I got him off me and I said, well, I said, thank you very much. I really like you too. Thank you. It was a shock coming to Texas. I was like, what is this? Who are these people? They're crazy. They love each other and they hug and they drive big trucks and all this different thing. Anyway, I'm getting somewhere. I'm going somewhere with this. So I meet this guy. His name's Rick. And he became a friend of mine. And one day he said, hey, you want to go and maybe shoot something? Yeah, it's kind of a scary question. It's like, does he want to shoot me? Or does he want me to shoot him? Or what's going on here? So I said, well, I don't know, actually. I hadn't really thought about that. Because I'm English and we don't have guns. He said, let's go. I've got a gun. Let's go shoot. I said, okay, I'll go shooting with you. So anyway, we drive out and he's got this farm. I kind of felt maybe like it was a mafia hit job or something, you know. I was driven down through these, I think it was down through Eddy or Bruceville or somewhere like that. I was driven out there. It's like, man, where are we going? I thought this guy was my friend, but maybe he's just kind of a decoy or something. Maybe he's just trying to set me up to shoot me. But anyway, we go out in the middle of this area and there's a big pond there and there's trees. He says, let me show you something. So he walked out of the back of his SUV. And he lifts up the back of the SUV. What do you call that thing? The boot. We call it the boot. What? That back hatch. That. The hatch. He lifted up the hatch, man. And then on the back there, it's like there's a blanket. I'm like, what's he got a blanket in there for? And he pulls back the blanket. And there's like 12 different guns in a row. I'm like, Rick, you want to get me arrested? He said, we're in Texas, you can do this. I've got a concealed handgun license. I said, they're not concealed, they're right there in the open. Put the blanket back, conceal them again. So he had all these different guns. I'm like, good night, what is this place? Anyway, week later, I'm invited out to dinner. My wife and I invited out to dinner to another guy's house in Waco, Texas. And we have dinner and dessert and coffee. And we're kind of chatting. And then the husband kind of gets this glint in his eye and says, Brother Matt, can I show you something? And I said, no, thank you. Because I knew where this was going. I thought, this involves guns, doesn't it? I said, what do you want to show me? He said, come over here, man. He's chuckling. Now you Texans do. And he walks over to this closet. But it wasn't a single door. It was a big double door. And he's got a padlock on it. He unlocks the padlock. And he opens. Well, do not an exit. Am I allowed to open this? Okay, I don't want the alarm to go off or the sprinklers to start or anything. He opens the double door. And it's wall-to-wall guns and ammunition. I'm like, good night. Man, if there's a war or something, I'm coming to your house. Because at least I'll be safe here. Anyway, I better shut that door. Don't let the heat out. The point I want to make here is the devil has more weapons than any Texan has guns. He has a bunch of weapons and he knows how to use them. And you see, when we step up and we start saying, you know, we're going to live by the word of God. We're going to be family. We're going to love each other unconditionally. We're going to dig the family wellspring. We're not going to run away because we get offended. Oh, the music's too loud. I'm going to that church. Oh, it was too warm in there. They didn't put the AC on. I'm going to that church where they keep it nice and cool. Oh, the pastor preached about this. I didn't really agree. I'm going over there. We don't do any of that trash. We stick it together. We stay together. We fellowship together. We're family together. Why? Because we are family, and that's the heart of the Father. And when you do that, the enemy will open up his gun closet and he'll pull out some weapons to try and get you to scatter. All I will tell you is this: the blood of Jesus is more powerful than any weapon the devil can pull out of his gun closet. Amen. Okay, I could spend more time there, but we need to move on. Number three. Are we doing okay for time? You're still kind of looking at me and smiling. No one's dropped off to sleep yet. Oh, we've got a few more minutes. Number three. Isaac heard the word of the Lord that said, don't be afraid, Isaac. Even when the attack of the Philistine comes, he said, don't be afraid. He says in verse 24, I am the God of your father Abraham. Don't fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. You see, as we work together as a team of well diggers, the attack of the enemy will come. But we don't have to be afraid, because we're not going to quit on each other. We're not going to abandon each other. We're not going to run off offended. We're family, and we're going to stick it out. Do you know how many times my mum and dad have offended me? But you know something? They're still mum and dad. Do you know how many times my sisters have really made me so mad? Even now, Pastor Ronnie, we're in our 40s and they're still like, come on, girls, stop it. But we're family. We stick together. You know, the church family needs to learn to be like that, to stick together. Don't be afraid when the work of the enemy comes. Stick together. I'm going to skip all of this because there's one thing I want to finish with. After those three things, after the fact that Isaac desired to unblock this dirt-filled well, I believe you guys want to do that. You recognize there's a lack of family in society today, and we want to set an example and be family. After the wells have been unstopped and the attack of the enemy has come, and after that Isaac hears the word of the Lord and God tells him not to be afraid, we're going to finish with this. Number four, Isaac continues to dig until his servants cry these words, we have found water. In verse 32, now it came about the same day that Isaac's servants came in and told him about the well they had dug. And they said to him, Isaac, we found water. It's amazing. It's fresh. It's clean. It's pure. These are four of the most life-giving words you will ever hear. I believe they're four of the most powerful words in Scripture. We have found water. What do you say when people ask you, why do you go to Open Door? There's 300 churches in Waco. Why do you go to Church of the Open Door? Is it the amazing worship? Well, perhaps. Is it the timely preaching every week from Pastor Ronnie? Maybe. Is it the comfortable seating? Well, it could be. Is it the ambience and the surroundings, the nice color on the wall and all of that? Maybe. Is it the good-looking English preachers that come in every now and then? Well, no, it's not that. It's certainly not that. Is it the website and the bulletin and everything else? Well, that's got a part to do with it. Perhaps you're becoming a part of what God's doing here, and you don't even know what's drawing you to this place, to this people. Well, I know. And this is what this is all about this evening. Although you're all here for different reasons, the truth is you're all here for the same reason. And it's this: you have found water. When you walk through that door, when you pull into that parking lot, when the worship team started playing, when Pastor Ronnie gets up here every week and shares the word of God with you, When you handshake each other, hug each other, pray together, share life together, as your teenage kids are out there being taught the word of God, as your kids are in the kids' ministry, you know what's happening? Your family is finding water. The reason you're here is not for anything else except this. We have found water! That's what it's all about. The thing is, you didn't know how to put it that way, did you? So now when people say, "What? Why do you go to Open Door?" What are you going to say after three? One, two, three. Okay, no. Let's have some passion. You're going, "We have found water." You're not a Dalek from Doctor Who. "We have found water. We have found water. Exterminate." Let's say it with some passion, okay? You know how I was just real passionate? I went, "We have found water." You can do that. So let me ask you a question. Why do you come to this church? One, two, three. We have water. Why do you come to this church? One, two, three. We have water. Yes, you have. You found water. The water of family is here, but the devil wants to fill it up, so you've got to keep digging. Amen? Amen. Amen. Everyone's confused now. I'm done with church as usual. Many people are fed up with the business of man's religion and the busyness of building empires of men. I believe this room is filled with people craving something different. And that something is called family. And that's what God has called you to dig. Not a wellspring of perfection. Not a wellspring of cool trendiness. But you're becoming a family of well diggers. Digging the wellspring of family. And I believe in this place, you have found that water. And when the temptation comes because someone upsets you, offends you, it's too hot, too cold, too loud, too quiet, or whatever, remember the reason you're here. You're not here because of the temperature, because of the volume, or anything else. You're here because you found water. You found family. That's what's in this place right now. So as we close, let's get our hearts and minds back to the great call of God for this church. And it's this. You're a family. You are a family. Take one more look around at your beautiful, wonderful, God-ordained family. I joked before, but actually you're quite a good-looking bunch, aren't you? Because you have Christ in you. You're a family of well diggers. And the well God that God has called you to dig today has the pure water of God's family in it. There's no supervisors. There's no onlookers. There's no spectators, no managers. There's no observation gallery. There's simply a well to be dug by this family. And so here's my challenge as we close. I want to ask each one of you if you will grab a shovel, spiritually speaking, and stand with Pastors Ronnie and Kim as you desire to unblock the wellspring of family that's been blocked up in this region. I know it has because I lived here 5 years. You're no different from any other region. All around this nation, the family wellspring has been blocked up by the enemy. Together, I want you to remember the word of the Lord as you commit to this. Don't be afraid. Because you may not have found the perfect church here. You may not have found the coolest church. You may not have found the church that checks all your boxes. But I can say this of Open Door. You have found water. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. And I don't want you to feel obligated to stand. But if what I've shared with you resonates with you and you agree with it, and if you will say tonight, "I'm going to stand with Pastors Ronnie and Kim and I'm going to take a spiritual shovel and I'm going to do whatever it takes to dig this family wellspring," I want you to stand right now and we're going to pray together. Okay, I'd like you to pray this prayer after me, those of you who are standing. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Open Door family. And right here, right now, tonight, Here is my commitment. Even as I stand to my feet, I stand in my inner man and I say that I will be a well digger. I will not be an observer. I will not be a whiner or a whinger. I will not be a complainer. And I will not run away from what you're doing. But instead, Lord, I choose tonight to be part of this family of well diggers for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, I want you just for 1 minute, just quietly before the Lord, don't sit down, stay standing. I want you quietly before the Lord just to say what you've said, but in your own words. We don't need to hear it. Just say it. Just make your commitment to God to be part of the well-digging family at Open Door Church. So we're just going to give you a moment to do that. If you want to kneel down, if you want to raise your hand,